Blog Talk Radio. Are you ready to pamper yourself with luxury that is within reach? As a loyal listener, you can now get cash back, rebates of up to 30%, and discounts up to 60% while shopping at over 1,100 of your favorite stores. You deserve it. Let yourself go wild at loveloyaltysuperstore.com, where paying retail price is a thing of the past. I've experienced this fabulous internet savings mall and highly recommend it to you. Be sure to visit loveloyaltysuperstore.com to enjoy shopping in a whole new way at loveloyaltysuperstore.com.
This has been a joy for me to get the book that I'm reading now, The Real Name of God. Growing up a Southern Baptist and getting this book and seeing this and then talking to some friends of mine about it, I'm like, okay, so this is going to be an interesting show. So my guest today is Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He's a revered educator, writer, spiritual guide, and healer who teaches and counsels about faith, ethical values, life transformations, and evolving human consciousness, and is well known for his quality scholarship and sacred spirit. He has been described as a rational intellect with the soul of a mystic. And in connection with this book, The Real Name of God, Embracing the Full Essence of the Divine, he has been called a spiritual master of our time. Rabbi Dossick is the award-winning author of 8 previous critically acclaimed books, the now classic Living Judaism, Golden Rules, Soul Judaism, When Life Hurts, A Business Bible, The Best Is Yet to Be, and with his wife Ellen, 20-Minute Kabbalah and Empowering Your Indigo Child. For more than 17 years, he served as a visiting adjunct professor at the University of San Diego, teaching the only courses in Jewish studies at this Catholic university. Currently, he is the spiritual guide of Elijah Minyan in San Diego and the host of the internet radio show Spirit Talk Live. He's with me today to share his revolutionary revelation of the real name of God and to invite people into a deep, personal, intimate, loving relationship with the divine. Are you with me, Rabbi Dossick?
I am. Thank you so much. It's a great pleasure to be here.
I am thrilled that you're here.
I have to say that I looked at your photos on the internet. You are one distinguished looking lady.
Well, thank you so much. I love it. I love it. Now, in this book, it talks about, in the last statement that I made when I was doing the introduction, is getting people to really understand how to have a deep, personal, intimate, loving relationship with the divine. Now, is that saying that people can have this relationship because the divine is not out there in the sky someplace? Or is it out there in the sky someplace? How does this work?
Well, it's both. In order to have a relationship with God, you have to know who God is. And my problem, the way I began to address this issue, is I had two major questions. One, how can the one perfect God have so many different names? There are hundreds, thousands of names for God throughout all the religious traditions. And second, how can this one perfect God who loves us and holds us in tender compassion and gives us a set of stellar rules to live by that elevate the human condition and the human spirit, how can that God also behave in such a, frankly, not so nice manner? Harsh, angry, militant, vengeful, revengeful, male-dominating. And so it occurred to me that none of the names that we have for God is God's real name. Each one is simply an aspect or an attribute or a characteristic or a manifestation or a behavior of God. So if you picture a beach ball, each one of the colored panels of the beach ball is one of the names of God representing one of the attributes or aspects. But my question was, what is the name of the whole divine beach ball? And could I go back into the Bible itself and find it there, hiding in plain sight all these years, just waiting for the right energetic moment in time to be revealed? And I found it. And one of the things that I found about the real name of God, the whole complete totality of God, is that God is both the transcendent God of creation and history, with whom most religious and faith communities have a communal relationship, and God is also the immanent God, the God within, the God who is deep within each one of us, with whom we can, each person, have that deep, personal, intimate, loving relationship.
Now, Rabbi, that sounds so nice, but when I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, we're talking about God, the divine, but God is not the real name. Is that correct?
Well, God is just an English translation. The name that comes from the Hebrew, and the name that we know from the Hebrew most is, in Hebrew, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh, Adonai, but in my studies, I found that that name is just one aspect of the whole divine beach ball. So the question is, what's the name of the whole divine beach ball? The name of the whole divine beach ball, which is the original Hebrew of the name of God, is Anochi, which is spelled in English, A-N-O-C-H-I. It's pronounced Anochi, which is one of those words. Like, so if you have the Jewish like Hanukkah or Challah, you can say it. If you don't have the Jewish, then you can remember the musician-composer Johann Sebastian Bach. It's the same guttural sound. So Anochi is the name of the whole complete God. It is used 359 times in the Bible. Every single time it is in the voice of God. It is when the totality of God, the wholeness of God, the completeness of God is vital to the teaching or the event. No one aspect or attribute will do. And it's also used in the voice of human beings. When a human being is asking, how do I come into the fullness of my own God self? How do I touch the God within me? How do I become as godlike as possible?
Okay, now, when we talk about that, and you say it's in the Bible 359 times, can you tell us where we could find it one time in the Bible?
Well, sure. The opening line of the Ten Commandments begins, Anochi. It's usually translated simply as, I am the Lord your God. I, Anochi Adonai Elohecha. But we translate it as now, I source, put Yahweh into the office of Elohim to bring you out of the land of Egypt. So that's the beginning of the Ten Commandments. We also have a place in Deuteronomy, which has been transferred in as part of the main prayer of the Jewish worship service, which says, you shall love the Lord your God, Adonai Elohecha, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And these words, which Anochi, I source, command you this day. So it's used throughout there. And then in terms of the human voice, when Cain kills Abel, God says, Cain, where are you? Now, God's not asking about Cain's physical presence. What, there are only three people on earth. God lost Cain? No. What he's saying is, in the vernacular, where you at, man? What's happening? What's going on? And Cain says, Hashomer achi anochi, am I my brother's guardian? Is my God self the guardian of my brother? Because Cain doesn't know the rules of earth. No one told him if he hits somebody over the head, that person will die. No one told him how he can be most godlike. Or in another instance, Rebecca, who is the wife of Isaac, is barren. And she finally conceives, and the twins, who will eventually become Esau and Jacob, are within her. And they struggle with each other. They fight with each other. She's terrified that she's going to lose the pregnancy. And she says, Im Cain, if this is so, if I lose this pregnancy, Lama ze Anochi, what is my God self? She is saying that, as we know from ancient times, a woman's job was to be a wife and to bear children and be a mother. And if she can't bear children, she says, what is my God self? What is my purpose here on earth? So there are just two examples from the voice of God and two examples from the voice of human beings when the word Anochi is used.
Awesome. Now, one of the things I forgot, I'm going to back up here for a moment. How did you get started on this quest?
Well, the two questions that I asked at the beginning, that is, how can the one perfect God have so many names, and how can the one perfect God, frankly, behave so badly, that was my inspiration, if you will, because, you know, when kids say to me, I don't like God very much, I don't like that God who opens the earth and swallows enemies and decimates the unfaithful, well, I don't like that God very much either. And so I began asking in my prayers and meditations, is there something we've all been missing all this time? And this word, Anochi, came to me. So fortunately, because of technology, we have my good friend and distinguished colleague, Rabbi Google. It's a joke, I guess. Rabbi Google, right? So I could put the word into the computer, and it popped up these 359 times where Anochi is used. And so then I began exploring each one of the usages, and I found, of course, that what I've told you. I also found that the sages throughout the Jewish history knew, and they left us hints in their writings, in sacred literature like the Midrash and the Talmud and the Zohar. Some of the Hasidisha Rebbes knew, the Ichpitzer Rebbe, the Berditchev, the Alter Rebbe, the Chabad Rebbe, the first Chabad Rebbe. They knew, and they left us hints in their writings, but they couldn't reveal their discovery because it wasn't the right energetic moment in time. Now it is. And the reason it's the right energetic moment in time is, first of all, because of what I told you about the transcendent God and the immanent God. Second of all, because it takes away the notion that God is only this angry, harsh, vengeful, revengeful God. We now know it's just one panel of the divine beach ball. The third thing is, because Anochi is a genderless word, it means it's genderful, which means that God has both male and female, right and wrong, good and evil, justice and mercy, light and dark and shadow. So it tells us that God is the everything of the everything. Everything of the universe is God. And we who are created in the image, we who reflect God, we too have the everything of the everything within us. And so Jung was right. We have the archetypes of the male and the female. Everything is within us. And the last thing is good.
I get that.
And the last thing,
okay, go ahead.
I just want to say, the last thing and probably the most important of this discovery at this moment in time, and this is why it's been given over to us right now, is it seems that the theme song of the world right now is, my God's better than your God. Everybody's fighting about whose God's better, what God's name is, how we worship. So, and some people say, if you don't believe me, I will become a fundamentalist and make you believe me. Or if that's not enough, I'll become a radical militant. Or if that's not enough, I'll become a terrorist. The reality is what this discovery is saying to us is there is one God who is the parent of us all. And God says to us, I am one God. I am the parent of you all. I really don't care what you call me. You can call me Anochi. That would be fine. But just like in many families, somebody calls the father Daddy, and somebody says Daddy-O, and somebody says Pops. It doesn't matter what you call me. I want you to know I love you all, and I don't play any favorites. And I, God, am pure love, unconditional pure love. And I love you with that unconditional pure love. And I hope you will love me in return. And at this moment in time, I hope you will love each other and stop fighting with each other and stop struggling against each other, because unless you learn to live in harmony and unity and peace and love, you have developed the scientific technology to be able to destroy each other and perish from this earth. There is too much at stake right now, and therefore this is why this discovery has been revealed, and this is why God says to us, love each other so that you don't destroy each other.
All right, now, having said all of that, that God is the everything, he is the all, and the cabal and the cabalion and all of that talks about this. The thing that I see happening, though, is we have humanized God by, I think, giving him human characteristics, even calling it him, bed of love, which is an energy. So when you look at this, how does your revelation by finding the real name of God translate into helping people to realize that we don't have to put human characteristics on this energy?
Well, first of all, I always call God him, her. Well, I know he doesn't have gender, but the languaging that we have in English still does, so we can call God him, her. Second of all, God is indeed energy, and I believe, and we may differ on this, I believe that God has the characteristics that we want to find in a personal God, a God who is not simply energy. That would mean that God is uninvolved in our personal lives. That would be the unmoved mover of Aristotle. I believe that God is deeply involved in our personal lives and loves us and cares about us and watches over us and protects us and guides us and counsels us and befriends us and loves us and catches our tears and celebrates our joys. If that is the case, then I want that deep, personal, intimate relationship with God. I want, if you will, pillow talk with God. So I want to know who God is. In the same way, I love my wife, and I'm glad to know her name because in pillow talk, I can address her directly. So I believe that God is deeply, deeply involved in our personal lives in a personal way. And since God is the everything of the everything, God is certainly involved in our personal lives. And as well as the energy of creation, as well as the energy and the vibrational energy of love. You know, the story is that there are seraphim who stand on either side of the heavenly throne and shout out across the heavens, Kadosh, 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 Sanctus, 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 Holy, Holy, Holy. And that is the love vibration. And that love vibration vibrates its way to earth. And when we repeat those words, we bring the love vibration to earth. So God is indeed the energy of the universe. God is indeed the love vibration of the universe. And God is at the same time the personal God deeply involved in our lives.
Now, when we talk about the personal God deeply involved in our lives, does that mean that I want something or I desire to have something change in my life and I sit down and say, here, God, take care of it?
Well, we are co-creative partners with God. We can certainly put out that energy to the universe that says, God, help me with this. God's not into things like lotteries and A's on tests and sports teams. But we can put out the energy to the world. Let me give you just an example. You remember back to 1987 when we held what was called the Harmonic Convergence. Remember that? A bunch of people stood around the world, chanted the prayers of peace, prayers of love, and we said this is going to change the world. Well, did it change the world? Maybe. It certainly sent out the love energy and the peace energy to the world, but also in terms of practical result. If in 1986 I had said to you, Inez, I predict that in 20 years the Berlin Wall will fall, communism will fall from the Soviet Union, all the Soviet satellite countries will be democratic in one form or another. Blacks and whites will be riding the bus in South Africa together. Protestants and Catholics won't be shooting at each other in Northern Ireland. And every once in a while, Jews and Arabs will sit down at a peace table. You would have called me crazy. You would have called the white coats to cart me away to the loony bin. But it all happened. Did it happen just because? Maybe. Did it happen because we put that love and peace energy out into the world? Maybe. But God says to us, you are my co-creative partners. I can't do this alone. I can't impose it on you alone. So in two ways, you know, I always ask at the exam at the end of the semester, where was God at Auschwitz? And the kids write and write and write. They write theology, they write theology. And one young woman got an A+. She wrote, where was God at Auschwitz? Where was man? We have to be the co-creative partner in confronting and stopping evil. And on the other hand, some person said to me, you Jews, you have the same prayer book for at least 1,000 years, close to 2,000 years. You have 3 worship services a day, and in every one of those services you have a prayer for peace. So for 1,500, 2,000 years at least, you've been praying for peace 3 times a day, every day, and there still isn't peace. Why are you bothering to pray for peace? And I said, you know, if every person on the face of the earth prayed for peace at the exact same moment, for that moment at least, we'd have peace, because you can't shoot each other when you're praying for peace. And that moment can be extended to the next moment, to the next moment, to the next moment. Because one of the things that we learn here is that I'm a child of God, you're a child of God, and if you are the clerk in the bank and take forever in the line, or if you're the kid in the convenience store who can't make change for a dollar bill without using the computer, and I get angry or frustrated at you and yell at you or shout at you or blast my horn at the driver who cuts me off, I diminish that person's God self, because that person's a child of God just as I am. And if I diminish his or her God self, I diminish my own God self. And by doing that, I diminish God's God self. So if we are aware that we are co-creative partners with God, God does God's share, we do our share. You know, it's the old joke, you know, let me win the lottery, let me win the lottery. Well, meet me halfway, buy a ticket, you know. All right, so the old story about the flood is coming, and the man says, I'm not leaving my house, I'll be fine. The robot comes, says, come, no, I'll be fine. And so then he goes to the second floor, and the rowboat comes, and he says, come. He says, no, I'll be fine. God will take care of me. God will take care of me. Finally, he's on the roof, and the rowboat comes, and the rowboat guy says, come, this is it. He says, no, I'm praying to God. God will take care of me. Unfortunately, the guy drowned. And he gets to heaven, and he says to God, I had great faith in you. How come you didn't help me? God said, I sent the rowboat 3 times.
And that is exactly what we do now. We're coming. We have about 6 minutes left in the show. I want to get to the chant part of the book, because you have some chants in here that you have about 30 chants to enhance the process of getting in touch with God. Can you give us an example of at least one of those chants?
Sure. First, I want to say that the chants are available on the website, which is www.godisanochi.com. There you can listen to all 30 chants, as we used to say on the old South Side of Chicago where I grew up, free for nothing. You don't have to pay for them at all. If you would like a download or a hard copy CD, there are ways to purchase a download or a hard copy CD. You can listen to them for free. And so one of the chants is simply chanting Anochi's name, because if you chant the name over and over again, you become closer and closer in relationship. So it goes, Anochi, 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 Anochi. Another one of the chants, what makes this lump of clay that's worth a couple hundred dollars on the open chemical market, what makes me or you into a living human being? Well, it is the breath of God. We learn from God and Adam in the beginning of the Bible. God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living human being. God breathes into us, we become living human beings. God takes away our breath, we die and return to the dust. So if we can be constantly aware of our breath, mindful breathing is not for the Buddhists alone, but it's for all of us. If we can be constantly aware of our breath, then we are constantly aware that that breath is God within us, which makes us godlike. And so the chant, the Hebrew word is ruach, the English word is breathing. Ruach, you can even hear the whoosh. Ruach, 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 ruach. Ruach, breathing, 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 breathing. And so if you concentrate not even on the chant, not even on the words, but on the feeling, the whoosh within you, the breath within you, you know that God is within you. So there are two examples of the chants.
Wow, thank you. Now let's talk very briefly, very quickly about the oneness consciousness that you speak about. Tell us what that means.
Well, that means that we are not all the same, and there's great beauty in the different pathways we choose to create from God to God, but we are all one. We are all one God, one world, one people. We are all becoming ever more aware and conscious of the oneness of the universe. If we don't become conscious of that oneness, we have the potential of destroying each other. And so one of the chants near the end is, one God, one world, one people, one God, one world, one people, one God, one world, one people, Eden on earth. One God, one world, one people, one God, one world, one people, one God, one world, one people, Eden on earth.
I just had a thought, Rabbi. What do you think would happen if, and I'm going to say if you, put together a worldwide event that people would all chant at a certain time once a month on something? What do you think would be the effect of that?
I think it would be a massive effect for good, a massive effect for unity, a massive effect for peace, a massive effect for love. I don't know that I am well-known enough or powerful enough or event-savvy enough to do that. I certainly can lead the way if people who have those kinds of skills are willing to join me. We sure certainly can do that.
Awesome. Now, one last question for you. Are you concerned at all that other religious leaders might renounce you and call you a blasphemer because of the claims that you make in this book, The Real Name of God?
Well, look, it's not easy being a prophet in your own time, and it is not easy challenging long-held, comfortable beliefs. Anytime you challenge the status quo about anything, it's scary, isn't it? But in the same venue, one man raised his hand and said, "Rabbi, I think you're a genius. You are a visionary. What you have found here is going to change the world forever." Another woman stood up and said, "You're a blasphemer. You're going to hell." Well, everybody has his or her own opinions. You know, it wasn't easy for Moses to be Moses. It wasn't easy for Jesus to be Jesus. It wasn't easy for Muhammad to be Muhammad or Buddha to be Buddha. Now, I'm not comparing myself, God forbid, to any of those great people. But I am bringing a brand new revolutionary idea to the world. It's not mine. I didn't make it up. I didn't create it out of nothing. I simply discovered it right there, just waiting to be discovered, and I bring that to the world. It is God's teaching. It is God's teaching, and God has said, this is the time, and Rabbi Wayne, you can be my messenger. So it's a great, great honor and an awesome, humbling privilege, and I want to get this message out as far as I can to as wide an audience as I can, and I thank you for putting me on your show so that I have your audience to tell. And I want you to know, people out there, I'm willing to go anywhere, anytime, any place to bring this message. And for those who call me a blasphemer, so be it. I think many, many more will have an aha moment to understand, because besides everything else, this discovery solves for so many the contradictions and the paradoxes and some of the mysteries of the universe that we have seen all these centuries and millennia. So I am ready to bring the name of Anochi to the world. I am ready to invite you to come to Sinai with me once again to hear the name of God and to meet God face to face.
Awesome. And on that note, this has been the Inez Bracey Show, Living Smart and Well. We'll be back next Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern with another guest with some more information that will rock the world. Go out and create a fantabulous week.
Remember to go to LoveLoyaltySuperstore.com, L-O-V-E, LoyaltySuperstore.com today to experience the fun and the joy of shopping from the comfort of your home at 1,100 of your favorite national merchants and receive up to 30% cash rebates and 60% discounts on your purchases at LoveLoyaltySuperstore.com. Be sure to scroll down and download the Cashback Finder at LoveLoyaltySuperstore.com.